This is WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, a broadcast service of Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center, Greater Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Well, thank you everyone for coming to my birthday party. Oh, gee, great. You know, I really needed a tie.
Oh, yeah. Hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff. So I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie. Here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
God of justice. I am the righteous judge of all creation. I am the King of kings. I am with the generation of the righteous. I am God. My statutes rejoice the heart. I am the one who makes unbreakable covenants with man. I am holy, pure, and undefiled. I am God. Beside me, there is no God. I am God by which all actions are weighed. I am God. My testimony is sure. I am God. My commandments enlighten the eyes. I am the witness on your behalf. I am righteous. Kings humble themselves before me. I am God whose eyelids test the sons of men. I am the spirit of wisdom. I am my ordinances. I am the divine judge of all things. I am the law. I am my statutes. Walk in them. I am judge of the living and the dead. I am the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I am righteous. I am perfect knowledge. I am before whom every tongue will confess. I am the Lord who loves righteousness. I am the unbiased, impartial judge. I am the Lord, and my judgments are righteous altogether. I am he who sent Moses to deliver Israel. I am God, and no one can reverse my acts. I am to be feared above all gods. I am God who refines you. I am my judgments. I am the Lord who heals you. I am the light of the world because the light of the world dwells in me. I will bear your light, O God, to change a world in darkness. Your kingdom will come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and it will begin in me as I am made of the dust of this earth. No one will meet me and not be changed, because no one can meet you and not be changed. I will become increasingly aware of the light that I carry. I will grow in you, and I will grow in this light. I will become a change agent in this world as your light radiates from me. I will believe the unbelievable about me, and what is not yet, I will become. I will come to understand where I am in you, and I will see my future more clearly than I've ever seen it before. The gifts you have given me will begin to flourish as I understand your ways. Nothing will prosper that comes against me, because I live a repentant life before you. Because I live a repentant life, you will answer my prayer. I will become what you have called me to become. I have been placed here for such a time as this, and I live where I live because you placed me here. I am not here by accident. I am here by your divine appointment. My neighbors will prosper because you are in me. All of those that I touch will prosper because of you in me. It is impossible for me to pray for anyone who is not touched by you, because you flow through me. It makes no difference if that person recognizes it or not. You will touch them. You will touch others more at times than you do at other times. And I will not judge my relationship with you based on what they feel. I relate to you because of who you are in me, not because of others, not because of my emotions, not because I feel saved, not because I've ascended to greatness through intellect, but because of what you alone have done in me. I am procreated in you. I am regenerated. I am born anew. Your seed has entered me. My spirit is alive and quickened because your breath is in me. I will become quickened to you, fine-tuned to your spirit, not doing what you're not doing, and doing all that you are doing. I will become a witness for you, because your light in me will prove to others you exist. With your help, when people see me, they will see you. Soon there will be a clear distinction between those who know you and those who don't know you. And there will be a clear distinction between me and those who don't know you. People will see me and they will know that I am a follower of Jesus, because I bear your light. For your glory, this will happen, taking the foolish things to confound the wise. Thank you for finding me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for pursuing me to become a change agent for your glory in this earth, for the sake of your kingdom.
Suddenly I found myself on the chest of Jesus, like John the Beloved. I could feel my face up against his linen robe, the soft fabric around my face. I could hear his heart, the sound of eternity, that gigantic chamber of love embracing me. I felt so loved, so protected. This intimacy of his heart went deep into my very being. Leaning deeper into his heart, I could feel his arms embracing me. And then I could feel his heart open up, and I'm drawn into the literal heart of Jesus. the eternal residence of this tremendous heartbeat. This heartbeat is resounding through all of eternity. The tapestry of sound and rhythm, the celestial worship, oh, the worship, the glory. His heart was a literal chamber of chanting a prayer, a tabernacle of glory. The Ancient of Days, this Jewish king, I was inside of his heart. The incense, the thick, heavy smells began to overwhelm my senses. The chanting, the awakening of my heart to these ancient prayers to God. Holy. I'm going deeper into the thick smoke. I began to perceive that these walls and this tabernacle, that they're not made of stone, but they're made of flesh. His heart was gigantic. This gigantic wall, like heaven's wailing wall. Every name, every individual, every faith, every destiny, every dream was written on the wall of the Lord's heart. But then I could hear the intercessors crying out from the lost, from the earth down below. I could hear them crying out, oh Lord, Lord, my Father. Lord, my Father, he doesn't know you. Lord, my mother, she's in so much pain. My children. I could hear the cries and the groans of the intercessors crying out for the lost. Lord, do you hear their cries? Will you save them? There's so much pain. There's so much anguish. And then I could hear the Lord's heart responding. His heart was breaking. This heaven's wailing wall, it was as though the whole wall was bleeding and crying and groaning in the depths of his being. Each one of the names written on his heart, he goes, I know your circumstances. I know each one of you so intimately. I feel your pain. I know the anguish. I know the pain you're going through. Will you come to me? You are not forsaken. Come to me. I love you. And then there was the sound of war. It was the sound of war and violence as these two governments of God and Satan are colliding. And then I saw these evil, diabolical armies from all the nations of the earth surrounding this great city. I heard a cry within these ancient walls, the voice of Rachel lamenting and crying out for her children. Thank you. And then there was another sound. It was a sound that was deep in the heart of the Lord. It was a sound of groans, a sound of travail. And then there was the sounds of the martyrs from underneath the throne. And they were crying out, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord?" Will you avenge our blood? And then there was the sound of the demonic destroying. The sounds of demons with suicide and hopelessness and depression saying, "I will destroy you." There was the sounds of disease ravishing and destroying bodies. The sounds of tormented, demonized people crying out for freedom and deliverance. The cries of the tormented and of the lost. You see, even in heaven's heart, the lost were crying out, "Is there a God? Does he feel my pain? Why was I born? I want to die. It hurts too much to live." I hear this great orchestration of all these prayers and worship culminating into a roaring crescendo. Such glory, such awe, such pain, such mystery. Interceding and dispatching warring angels, the heavens were at war. His very heart became heaven's wailing wall, weeping and proclaiming and calling forth the great love of his heart. He says, "I command my angels to go and war and set the captives free." So many need to come to me, so many are lost. And then he said, "If you want to see my heart, the key to apostolic authority is love. If you want to move in signs and wonders, then you need to know my heart. If you want to see heaven break in into territory and take whole cities, then you need to move with this radical resurrection love. You need to hear what I hear. You need to feel what I feel. Will you have my compassion? You need to have my heartbeat. Are you willing to be a deliverer? Will you let me come and take my sword and cut open and circumcise your heart so that you will feel, so that you will bleed, so that your very heart will become heaven's wailing wall? The pain of the lost and the broken, that you can intercede and cry out in deep prayer and travail to help to birth my heart. Can I write their names on your heart? Are you willing to become lovers? Will you love with my love? I'm calling you to heaven's wailing wall.
Monday morning, and I'm in my garden praying. I've been praying for quite a while now, and so many things have come to me. It's the end of March, And during March, we've been blessing Israel with our prayers and our praise and our offerings. And I was thinking about something this morning, and God instructed me to do this in this last week of March. The blessings of Abraham came upon us, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, that cursed is every man who hangs upon a tree, meaning crucifixion. In the context, he was saying that Paul was saying that Christ was crucified and took the curse upon his body and upon himself. And because of that, the blessings of Abraham have now been granted to us, also the Gentiles. We are now grafted in. But I was thinking about what were the blessings of Abraham. Of course, we know there was wealth, long life, health, influence, affluence. But what did God say to Abraham? God said to Abraham, right from the very beginning, any man curses you and I will curse him. Any man blesses you, I will bless him. And then he said to Abraham, he said, you I will bless, and you shall become a blessing. Not only will you be personally blessed, but you will become a blessing to others. And then he said that he would give him affluence, influence over the nations of the earth. He would make of him a nation. I take those blessings for us today because I realize that we've been doing that in March. We've been blessing Israel. And God wants to bring a blessing upon us as a people, upon the citizens of the kingdom and the citizens of the United States of America and of the nations of the world. And so I listened to his voice and decided that we would sow an offering from all of us to Israel. And then we're going to ask God to bring a blessing upon the United States of America and upon the nations that have participated, the people, the warriors in the different nations, whether it be in England or Europe, Scandinavia, Middle East, Russia, it doesn't matter, Africa, wherever you are. We're going to stand together and take that one offering that we've all compiled together through our giving and give to Israel. We'll do it one of the nights this week. But I realize that it still works like that. God's blessing came upon us as a people. And I want to represent the kingdom of God with the thousands of warriors that gather around me and bless Israel this last week of March by actually giving the amount that we've all put together so that each one of us can be blessed. Each one of our homes can be blessed, our families, our children, our bodies, souls. But very specifically for the soul of America, there's great, great division in this country. And I've shed many tears in this garden because of the bitterness that is arising from the citizens. The bitterness that is arising from the heart and the soul of the people. This is very sad to me, and I've felt the heart of God in this. His heart has been grieved. And that's why I stood up or got onto my broadcast and gave the message that I gave. It didn't really matter who's in charge. The fact is now that this great nation is in such division and bitterness, hatred. There may be cause for some of this, but it is our duty to be pure before him. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock, my rescuer. America needs to be rescued, but it's not going to come with debating, talk show hosts, hateful speeches. It's going to come by the people standing together and saying, have we forgotten where we've come from? Have we forgotten our roots and the blessings that God gave us? How we got here and the reason we came here to this beautiful nation? Have we forgotten that God chose this soil, yeah, this nation, America, to send the gospel, to propagate the word of God, to send it to the whole world? That's what we were called to do. Have we forgotten that? And yeah, God breaks the power of racism, places an African-American president at the helm. And yes, he's made some terrible mistakes. But does that give us reason to hate, be divided? It's come before the Lord as a stench. and it's time for us to stop. And how I'm going to, especially at this time, while we are in March, where you know there's change taking place, I'm going to stand with my warriors. We're going to bless Israel. We're going to pray for the leadership of this nation. We're not going to curse. Blessing and cursing cannot come out of the same mouth. Life and death cannot come out of the same mouth. It is time for us to speak life. For the Lord has anointed me and given me the tongue of the learned that I may speak a word in season to those who are weary. Many of us have that. Let's speak the word to a weary nation. What is the word? God is alive. His plans are to prosper us. They're not wicked. His plans are not wicked. And so I feel in my heart that we should join together and pray. And on Thursday night of this week, I'm going to gather us all together. We're going to pray together. And we're going to bless Israel as a people. So, and the blessing will come upon us. Because already I'm sensing God's divine love and desire to bless us. But what is stopping him, and I have, this is a clear word, is the bitterness and hatred that is coming from the citizens of the United States of America and also the citizens of the kingdom. So, Lord, I'm praying today that you would give us, that you'd show us mercy, that you'd give us direction, teach us how to pray, show us what to say, to proclaim. Come upon us, Lord. Hover over us. We want the dove to have.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff here. General Manager of WSCIRO, and I have my husband here, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, the other General Manager of WSCIRO. We are on the last day of March. Can you believe it? And we are into spring on man's calendar, a new season, but we were actually enjoying a meteorological springtime here in New York. New York, New Hampshire, all of New England. For all the winter, the Lord had come to me, even after the Farmer's Almanac reports that, you know, we're going to have another bad winter, and for the most part, many parts of the country did have a severe winter. But that was last year. The Lord was saying for us, and He's saying, this proved that He's God. He was going to give our area a springtime in the winter. And that by the end of March, we will be seeing 80-degree weather and know that He is God, and tell my people this. So I began to tell people from time to time. I believe even at the beginning of winter, even before winter, maybe when it was, I wouldn't say August, September, the Lord gave me that. We had some friends that were up from Kentucky, and they were believing God to stay up here, but they had some family issues, and they had to go back down. But we were going to begin, we did begin our community, but then the Lord delayed it because He wanted to get some things together and work on some things in the background. And they were saying that they didn't want to live in their camper because they didn't know how they were going to hold up in the wintertime. And I told them, I said, the Lord says He has your back and He's going to provide warm weather for the winter. So, I mean, could you believe it? We did. We got that warm winter. It was really, we were enjoying 50, 60 degree weather for the most part. Sometimes it dipped into the 40s. And then it just jumped right up. Last week, I thought I was in July. So, God is doing something. He's doing something in the hearts of His people. He wants you to rely on Him, and He wants you to be totally obedient to every word that comes out of your mouth. And sometimes He will surprise you with what He spoke and bring it into being, bring the things that are not as if they are, and then He will move on that reality on your behalf, just so He can meet and greet you in your ordinary circumstances in life, and prove to you that he is God and there is no other. So, you know, take a little bite of that and of that nugget. So anyways, I want to say hi, first of all, to all my friends and family on Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo communities, and Blog Talk Radio communities. We've had a new, change on Facebook. If you know, many of you, in case many of you didn't notice and you're still sleeping, then maybe you're listening to this on iTunes somewhere or on your the phone, the iPhones, or smartphones, or wherever, however you choose to listen. But anyways, I have been trying to avoid the change, like many of you, because of course we get used to the same old thing, and that's how it is in life. And when the Lord says there's going to be a change, there's going to be a change, and we have to get ready. Well, I noticed that some of my friends were getting ready, and they were, they were preparing their pages before the change came on March 30th. But of course, Dr. Shirley waited till March 30th, right? So I was trying to figure out which pictures were going to be on the top part of the page, which speaks 1,000 words, right? A picture is 1,000 words. But I was waiting on the Lord to give me pictures, because I had some wonderful pictures, but I wanted to get something up there that the Lord released from heaven. And so under the Joshua connection, some of you are hearing bagpipes right now, and apparently there is a home going outside right now. We live right next to the church, because we went from the church, and someone that went home to be with the Lord, obviously they must be from Ireland, or they just have, they just love the bagpipes. So there's bagpipes right now being played. It's not your imagination. But anyways, what was I saying earlier before? I was saying that we have those bagpipes. Anyways, we were talking about, many people don't like change, but when change comes, we got to be ready. And so I wanted to put some pictures up there that would really speak volumes to people's heart. And so in my ordinary life, my ordinary circumstance, in my secular job, and it really is not secular because the Lord is part of that job, and he comes in at any time because I let him, I abide him, I say yes to him because I want to hear his heart. I want to know his thoughts and any time in the day. And so it's usually one of my quiet times on the bus, and towards the end of the week, I was in another part of Massachusetts, the southern Massachusetts region, near my favorite beach that I used to play at when I was a girl, little girl Shirley. And what happened was he brought me back to that beach because my job was next to that beach, Stuxbury Beach. And back in the day, it wasn't built up like it is now, so it was a little, the coastline looked a little different. The houses were beautiful. And there was this mud flat that I was drawn to because it looked like I was in Arizona at the same time, but there was an expanse. The Lord said he wanted to show me something, and so I brought my camera with me, and I took a picture. It was my camera on the phone, my Metro PCS phone, and I held it up to the sunset and sky and captured this beautiful picture of the artwork of the Lord. And I uploaded it, and so many people loved it. And it just looked like he wanted to show me mankind the expanse between the heavens and the earth, and how the sun was coming to the earth. But Jesus, another name for Jesus is, he's known as the sun. I've had visions where the Lord will walk past me, just especially after times of deep, deep, deep worship, deep, intimate worship, and I'd fall out in the spirit, and all of a sudden I would just be greeted by the Lord. I would see his robe and his feet walk before me, and I would feel the warmth of the sun over his face. Like, I didn't see his face, direct face, but it was like a sun glow over him, and I would just feel the warmth of his presence, and would just radiate through my whole entire being, touching me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And Lord, I just ask right now, as I'm describing this glory, Lord, your glory, your countenance, that your countenance, your presence would go before us and before the people, that especially that listen to this show, that you would just touch them, you would transform them. As my heart is burning right now from your presence just flowing through, that would flow to them, Lord Jesus, and would just touch them in areas where people, situations could never touch, but it was a place reserved for you. And I just thank you, Lord, just melt them, melt all the troubles and worries and anxieties out of the way that don't bring you glory, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Heal your people of all division, sadness, worry, and fear of the future. So I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you for what you are doing, for what you are going to continue to do in this broadcast. Thank you, Lord, for stepping into time, for such a time as this. Thank you for the privilege of bringing you to the people through this multimedia ministry known as WSCIRO, which stands for Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston and Beyond. So, wasn't that a wonderful testimony? I didn't even know I was going to go into that. But this is what God's been doing. And so, I wanted to do a series, a Lenten series, a six-week Lenten series like we did last year on Return of the Prodigal. But the Lord was saying, we're in a new season. We're in a new season, Shirley. And wait on me, okay? And I did. And then we went through, the first week of Lent. Still nothing but prayer, you know? And it was like, it was just more like prayer. Pray. And then second week of Lent, same thing. Pray. I mean, he gave me an idea what I was going to talk about, but I didn't receive the content yet. So he said, pray some more. And then what started settling in my heart was, despair and depression. I'm like, Lord, am I getting despair? I mean, is this me? Is this coming from me? He said, no, it's his heart. And he said he was doing the same thing. He was laying the same burden on many of his intercessors, especially the forerunners of multimedia ministry, and he was communicating to them on some similar topics, but he was going to give a nugget to each one. And so at the beginning of the year, we had declarations going forth, and so at the beginning of this show, I started with John Paul Jackson's declaration. It was already written form on his site, streamsministry.com. But then recently, I believe it was the beginning of the year, New Year 2012, the Lord ministered to him to put it on MP3, and so and he allowed it to be a free download. So that's what I did. I downloaded it for this show, and then Jill Austin, the late Jill Austin, Sister Jill, who went home to be with the Lord, have left a nugget through her CD, Visitation. And so that's what you heard, the Visitation, about what's going on in the wailing wall of the Lord's heart. Many situations, many people interceding for different conditions in the world, especially the family. And what I got out of that was, and also out of my prayer time during this Lent, that the Lord is really very concerned for the families of this earth, for the families of the earth, okay? There is some stuff coming down the pike that if we don't pray, the body of Christ does not take this seriously and pray for the individual families that make up the body of Christ, and also families of the earth, that there will be no future hope of glory, and prayer, it will frame the reality and the course of where the body of Christ is going. So it's very important. Prayer is very important. It shapes the future. It brings life. Okay, and it connects you to the things of the kingdom. And I'm not talking about prayer separate from Jesus. You have to go through Jesus. Jesus says in John 14:16 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody goes to the Father but through him. They don't go through Muhammad. They don't go through Buddha. They don't go through any other false god. All right, they, you know, or a man that is raised up like a god. All right, they go through Jesus. Okay, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. This is the reality because he rose from the dead. He not only died, he rose from the dead and came to his disciples before he ascended into heaven to get his glorified body, and before he sent the Holy Spirit to us to begin the church. So there's credible witnesses spread throughout all the New Testament for those who seem to struggle with the spirit of unbelief. And if you are, we try and bind that spirit of unbelief, and we ask for the Lord that you would give them a believing heart to believe the things that of the kingdom of God, all right, that you decree because of your life, death, and resurrection, that you decree from the kingdom. So we just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless that bagpiper. Bless him. Bless the people of Ireland and also Scotland. They have bagpipes too. All right. We have a lot of things to unpack in this particular broadcast. We're going to look at, the title of this Faith Talk Viper is From His Heart to Yours. And we already, discussed some of this. But let you know that we also have an excerpt on here, which you heard prior to the introduction of this show, which served like an introduction. Kim Clement, who has a show from the guy, The Den and The Matrix, and he has different things that he airs on internet from his ministry headquarters. And he sent to all his warriors MP3 about what the Lord was sharing with him when he was in his prayer garden this particular Monday. I believe that was March 27th. Okay, I had been weepy. The heart of the Lord's been crying. As a matter of fact, I put it on my status that his tear. When you feel that way, especially if you're an intercessor, it's his heart crying through your heart. And most of the time, there are no words for that cry, but to know that it's the prayer of the righteous one, righteous in Jesus, not on your own merits, will prevail, and it prevails much. And the cry that touches the human heart, especially the intercessor's heart, gets intermingled with the Lord's heart, and it goes up to the throne. And the Lord hears the cry of the poor. He hears the cry of the brokenhearted. Some people are too bitter to cry, so he raises up the intercessors to cry out. That's just his nature because he loves humanity so much. He wants to set humanity free. He wants to set his children free. He wants a free people. And so where there is despair when there's no hope, there's no liberty, but the Lord wants to set his people free. And there's been much talk about freedom of conscience debate. And I say debate, and I'm using that term very wisely, but I believe that what's really burdening the heart of the Lord is the fact that there's just too much. See, debate. What debate does on some level is brings in an air of discontentment, and when it brings in discontentment, it also pulls in dissension and indifference. It kind of a topic that the Lord wants to shed light on and wants people to pray on more it just brings it down to a lower level where it remains on a human level, and the Lord wants to answer that. He wants it higher because He wants to, first of all, change men's hearts, men and women's hearts. Okay, let's just face it. You're talking about freedom of conscience. You're not truly free until you receive Jesus, until you make Him Lord of your life and of your heart. And until you do that and receive Him through the Eucharist, through some form of communion, whether it's spiritual with a clean heart or whether it's, you know, receiving the true body and blood of Jesus with a clean heart, there is no life within you. And all these topics of concern become like clanging cymbals, and it need not be when we truly read the word of the Lord and take it to heart with all the absolute truths, with all the reality of the mystery of Jesus poured out, you know, through the word of God and through the Eucharist and through the sacraments. You can't go wrong, but many people even skirting around parts of the word, and they're only taking this and throwing that out because they don't understand, or maybe the group that that reared them when they were children, you know, that only reared them in 10% of the faith. You know, they're only getting that 10%, and they're only going on that. And that 10% can be very powerful, but then there's even greater mysteries beyond that have already been laid out and been searched out in the scriptures and have been passed down from generation to generation. Okay, so you know, there's a lot of wealth out there already written, but written in the Word of God and sanctified through the ministry of the Church. And I'm talking about the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church. But you know, because of the divisions and debates of the past and different parts of the body of Christ throughout the centuries, some of that truth got lost. Okay, and it's our hope that during these faith talks that we discover what those things are that got lost and why the division, and at the same time we don't just stay there, but we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. We ask, you know, the Holy Spirit to minister to whoever's listening through prophetic words, either from dreams or even through prayer and through the worship that the Lord lays in our heart to provide for you. My husband's going to come on a little bit later, and he's going to talk about the HHS mandate. You know, I like to talk about the Catholic Charity. The Catholic Charity, yeah. Well, I want to talk about the healthcare proxy. And the only reason why I say Catholic Charity, because my first encounter with healthcare proxy was on a forum that, when, you know, years ago when I was a single parent mom, a young single parent mom, I was stuck with, Lord, how are you going to provide for my children? I went to Catholic Charities, and they had all these forums, a healthcare proxy forum, and I remember taking 3 or 4 copies of it and really not filling it out because I didn't have anybody in my life that I could trust. I had to put my trust in Jesus to make decisions for me. I just said, Lord, You're my healthcare proxy. You've got to keep me alive to raise these kids because nobody else is going to raise them the way that you want me to. you want them to be raised. So that was my healthcare proxy. But, you know, that's a reality that it keeps coming up, and we're going to examine that and what it is, okay? And why the Catholic Church is stepping up to the plate to push that and to explain that, you know, a lot of us are going to be alive until, you know, when Jesus returns, but you know, for those who are not, you know, this will be a good thing. I want to read a status update that really touched my heart, because again, I was in this place of intercession and just waiting on the Lord and not even knowing, Lord, is it me? Am I going through a dark night? What's going on? You know, because there were things that were going on around us. There were a lot of buzz and bees, and I even had a dream of buzz and bees. And in this dream, I was like, I was ascending, but as I was ascending from the place, the atmosphere of the earth, it was glorious. But then what was in the atmosphere, it was a sunny day, and what was in the atmosphere was this bees buzzing. And they weren't stinging me, but they were just buzzing around me. And those bees that came into that atmosphere, at that level in the atmosphere, it kind of slowed down and delayed. It didn't stop it. It delayed the ascension. And I believe it, what's ascending is the prayers of the people. And it's just a symbol. The Lord was showing me what was happening to many of the intercessors' prayers, who lose focus, who was not obedient to what you want them to do at the time that you want them to do it. And he was just showing me that the buzzing bees is a demonic. John Paul Jackson writes on his dream cards, it's anytime you see buzzing bees or hornets in your dream, it's a higher demonic power that's trying to assault a region. And I just believe this was the region was the United States. And so Kim Clement from his garden was getting these same things at the same time that I had this dream. So it was amazing. That it's so amazing when the Lord does this. He talks to one prophet and he talks to another prophetic intercessor, and in the same similar manner, but maybe different symbols to make the same point. And it becomes a prophetic tapestry. I've talked about that in the other Faith Talks live prayer, okay? But I wanted to, before I go into a dream that the Lord had given me regarding how he wants to elevate the Holy Spirit, especially in the area of prayer, prophetic prayer. And then there was a blessing that I received just before I did the show, because I was a little bit procrastinating in this regarding the show, because when you have conversations in everyday life, exchange of words from time to time, what happens is that it carries on into your own personal space, and that's what it was doing for me. It was carrying on into my own personal space, and all of a sudden I kind of got a little bit derailed, and it was a conversation that happened yesterday, and I said to my husband, we should look that up on the internet, and it had nothing to do with this show, all right? And it really did not. I mean, the topic was we've been riding recently, coming into Boston, riding the subway. And I noticed that I've just got this eerie feeling about the subway, that there's some kind of demonic thing that's happening, because there was a lot of deaths there, and a lot of souls died in a state of terror, and there was a part of the track that went to the 1800s, and I just felt like, is this track haunted? It was just something that was in my heart, and then somebody else was talking about things that are haunted. And I remember John Paul Jackson saying, when people visit haunted places, and I was just trying to use the tract for transportation, but I'm talking about now, we're moving into the realm of haunted houses, that those are places where there's a lot of demonic activity, and if you go there, you're kind of like inviting that into your life, especially when you live in these places, and people experience all kinds of spiritual phenomena that are not necessarily from the Lord, I asked my husband, why don't you look up the ghost on the red light? I just want to see what people have been writing about, or green line. And because she was showing me something about the green line, maybe it was just giving me a warning. And so that's all it was. But he was, as he was looking that up, the Lord brought me to a place of rest, and I went off into the spirit, and he showed me an ephod with the 12 tribes of Israel, the stones, and they were glistening, and I saw the wall, part of the wall of the New Jerusalem, which is rainbow color, and things like that. And then I woke up again, woke up out of it, asked my husband what he was doing, and then I went back under, and this time we were on a train, we were on the Amtrak, and somehow we got off the train, and we were thinking, we're not supposed to get off the train, we're supposed to be on it. And then the Lord said, I told you. I'm not going to say anything else after that, but he, in his wonderful fatherly way, told me to stop being disobedient to him and to resume what he wants me to do. Then he gave me Psalm 128, but there was something in that, and I want he woke in my the little girl in me. And so we're going to have little Shirley on a little bit later on the show. And Dr. Jeff's going to introduce little Shirley. And little Shirley will give you her account of what the Father did for her in that dream and what he gave her from heaven. I think you're going to think it's very delightful. So I want to read some the dream that I had regarding Psalm 93. We get to Psalm 128 at the end of this broadcast, this segment at least. But I want to talk about Dawn Flaherty's status. Now, part of what I was lamenting for was not just in my life, but, in observing other, situations where people were called into ministry and they received this attack from this person. And it was always a leader, supposedly, or maybe even a parental figure, which is another kind of leader, that control them away from the destiny that the Lord had for them. And so Dawn, and it just ministered to me so much, because the Lord had already been speaking to my heart about this, especially this week. And that, prayer can get us back on track when we come up against this opposition and control. It could be somebody controlling your finances, so you don't have the finances for ministry. It could be putting excessive rules in where you feel constricted and you feel like you feel claustrophobic with no space, no plate, no weight, no fluidity, no freedom to move. No flow. Anyways, here we go. Dawn from England writes, from the UK, no one can control whom God has blessed. All right, so you got to start from that place of blessing. You got to know that you're blessed, okay? When you have the kingdom, when you carry the kingdom, where the Lord spoke to you and used you in times past, it's not that, he's no God, he's not a God that lies, all right? He wants to continually use you. It's just that there are times where the opposition comes because of jealousy and envy, and it's always on a human level. Very rarely is it on a demonic level, although the demonic level can exploit it. Especially when you're experiencing it from the same people, same group of people or situation, over time without the remedy of God. All right. It says, no one can control whom God has blessed. It may happen for a season, but God will not sit back forever. He will always vindicate his servants, like it says in the scriptures. You will experience a surge of inner strength from the Holy Spirit as he urges you on in this season. We learn much from this. So praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Amen. So that's what you have to do. You have to praise the Lord for his faithfulness through, even when you're in the middle of the apathy, okay, discontentment, discord, jealousy, and division. Even when you're around people like this from time to time, you feel like you're losing your hope and faith. That's time to, I got to get with God. That's time to just do an about face, a repentance, and say, look, I can't stay around this person, these group of people. I have to go and be with the Lord, and I need to pray for them, lest my heart get hardened and embittered, to the same degree their heart is, and I won't be able to pray. I just, live in resentment. So, the Lord wants to do that for you. He doesn't want your heart to dry up. Okay, that's why the nature of this particular show is called From His Heart to Your Heart. Okay, And the same thing with the soul of this country, like Kim Clement was talking about. He's very concerned. You know, the Lord gave us an African-American president, I really believe, to purify and purge this nation even more. And so what happens is that all the ugly stuff is coming out. You know, he's used his president for great strides, but there are some things that are a little off. And thank God for the voices of righteousness. And thank God for the freedom that we still have in this nation to voice this responsibly. Not, because he says he's a Christian, not saying that, oh, he's a Muslim. When he says, when somebody makes a declaration, you know, that means they are what they are. It's just that, you know, God has to purify them. They're not exempt from the purifying process. And what helps and aids that purifying process is prayer for them, okay? That's why we need to pray for our leaders, especially, okay? And so, you know, we don't debate them until, you know, why are we debating them until they go, you know, what are we pounding into the ground? You know, our fists, our feet, what are we stomping on? You know, we have holy hands. It says in the song, this is holy ground. Let me just sing it. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where He is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where He is holy. These are holy hands. He's given us holy hands. He works through these hands, and so these hands are holy. These are holy hands. He's given us holy hands. He works through these hands, and so these hands are holy. These are holy lips. He's given us holy lips. He speaks through these lips, and so these lips are holy. These are holy lips. He's given us holy lips. He speaks through these lips, and so these lips are holy. These are holy eyes. He's given us holy eyes. He sees through these eyes, and so these eyes are holy. These are holy eyes. He's given us holy eyes. He sees through these eyes, and so these eyes are holy. These are holy ears. He's given us holy ears. He speaks through these ears, and so these ears are holy. holy ears. He's speaking through holy ears. He speaks through these ears, and so these ears are holy. This is a holy heart. He's given us holy hearts. He lives through these hearts, and so our hearts are holy. These are holy hearts. He's given us holy hearts. He lives through these hearts, and so these hearts are holy. These are holy feet. He's given us holy feet. He moves through these feet, and so these feet are holy. These are holy feet. He's given us holy feet. He moves through these feet, and so these feet are holy. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray, Jesus, now. We are standing in His presence. We are standing in Your presence. We are standing in Your presence on holy ground. Lord, may it be so for the people in the United States, for the people in the body of Christ, O Lord, who have forgotten what they look like. Oh, Lord, remove the amnesia from their soul, from their mind, from their bodies, from their wills, and from their emotions, and strengthen their spirit, Lord. We thank You for putting a new step in them, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, for expanding their spirit and releasing a greater measure of faith, oh, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for what You are doing in Your people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Lord.
Holy Spirit, come.